Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of Cushy Radio. I'm Allie Laube, back again after the first week ever of this show, and it was so much fun. I was so excited to see a bunch of feedback from you guys. One of those pieces of advice was, hey, Allie, you should stop playing so much music and start talking more, which I was thrilled to hear because I love the sound of my own voice. Otherwise, I wouldn't be on radio, right? So here I am. Talking some more. Really stoked for this week. I feel like if last week was kind of me dipping my toes in the water, this week is me like completely jumping in head first. There's some crazy shit that I have to show you. But before I go into all of that stuff, I just want to give you a brief reminder. If this is the first time you're listening to this show, it is called Cushy Radio because I am the co-owner of Cushy Entertainment, along with my business partner, Maddie Cormier. And what we do is we throw inclusive and accessible music events around Vancouver. If you've been to one of our shows before, you probably noticed we tend to uplift marginalized performers. That means a lot of women of color and queer women, gender diverse folks, members of the LGBTQ+ community, people with disabilities, people who speak English as a second language, and newcomers, etc., etc. That's what we do, and this programming reflects that. Moving on. Exciting news for you folks. I actually got to interview Havaya Mighty for this episode of Cushy Radio. Episode 2 of Cushy Radio. I got to interview a Polaris Prize-winning rapper, which I'm really excited about because the week before I started getting ready to conduct this interview, I discovered 13th Floor, which is her album that just came out. And it's one of the best albums I've heard all year. Like, beyond a shadow of doubt, it's impossible to ignore. Like, right from the beginning, it grabs your attention, it brings you in. She demands that you hear her. Her voice is so strong, her content is so interesting and so powerful. I'm gonna hit you guys with that interview between the two of us right after we go through the Who We're Working With segment. So last week, we played for you guys some Mellow Haunt, some Kylie V, some Kai Bravewood, and some Walgren. And that was in preparation for our show with all of them at Redgate, which went really, really well over the weekend. This week, we're getting ready for our International Women's Day Showcase, which is happening on March 7th at Venue. And that's going to be with Missy D, Turinesh, Mama Rude Gal MTHC, Tanya, and DJ Denise. And that lineup is actually ridiculous. If you know any of these artists, you would be shitting your pants right now, so I hope you're doing that, I guess. It's gonna be beautiful. I cannot wait for that show. I helped curate the talent. So basically Music BC came to me and they were like, hey, help us out. And I did that. And I'm really proud of that work and I hope that you all go out and support them. The first track that I'm going to play for you today is by Missy D. It's called Yes Mama and it is an absolute hit. It's been a hit for a while too. Like there's a chance that you've heard this one before. But if you haven't, get ready to dance because it's super fun. And I'll be back in between the songs to let you know who you just finished listening to and what's coming up next. After all of that is finished, we're gonna move on to that interview with Havaya Mighty.
Allô maman, salut Diane, ça va? Ouais, ça va, ça va. J'ai besoin de te parler un petit peu. Ok, vas-y Missy D. Vas-y Missy D. Enter the room like he knows who we are. Follow me on Earth, Venus, up to Mars. See, I'm extra, extra, terrestrial. I'm a lavender, but also quite lethal. Killer boss. Drop a buzz like a deadlift, it up in my spirit. Killing me, there's a buck, the limit. Round the rust orbit. Got the ring, call me the whole bit. Larger than life, no need to be explicit. Sheesh. Someone call me a doctor. I'm giving birth to a lyrical monster. I'm fertile, I'm agile with my delivery. Reproducing flow past the cypher, nursery. Call me mama, call me girl, dream with a dollar. BCD surrounded by a fella. Coupe D, could refer back to a natural good beat. See, I gotta sing it for the motherland. So that they really, really understand. I hope mama is listening. We celebrating your wisdom. Singing, yes mama, yes mama. Yes mama, yes mama. Yes mama, yes mama. Yes mama, yes mama. Yes, mama. Yes, mama. Got a I might right now, nothing you, but I pause sometime. Yo, press, rewind, about to last more like what is time. Yo, give me the seconds, give me the runner, give me the review, the preview, the sequel. I felt like I dream and live another life. I need a DJ, play and save it fast, huh? With a better melody, with poetry, thoughts upon what would be. Can I put some metaphors? Give me more lecture, laugh at all, quite unsure. Something wrong, the clock is done. I shot myself to come back strong, feel us to battle. I just won, I feel us to battle, I just won. I'm trying to save my life right now, need a second somehow. I'm trying to stand why right now, need a second somehow. I'ma call up mama, hey, bless me with your wisdom. And we see, and we see. Yes for my, yes for my. Yes for my, yes for my. Yes for my, yes for my. Yes for my, yes for my.
Allô maman. Ouais Diane, qu'est-ce qui se passe? Tu sais, dans la vie, il y a des hauts et des bas, Diane. Faut garder la tête haute. Et tu sais, on est là pour toi. Ne m'oublie pas, tout le monde est là. Tu m'entends?
Yes, for my, yes, for my. Yes, for my, yes, for my.
Bonjour Diane, comment tu vas? J'espère que tu vas bien. On pense à toi et on prie pour toi. Dieu te garde, te bénisse.
I told you it was a banger. If you weren't moving to that song, then I'm sorry, but there's something very wrong with you. It's impossible for me to sit still when I'm listening to it. I think it's so fun. This next track is brand new by Mama Rude Gal MTHC. I played her last week as well, but you know what? She's excellent, so let's hear her one more time.
Making a change for myself, now I know what I'm gonna do. Shifted so quick and underneath my nose too. Adapted and now I'm almost through, yeah. Embrace the possibility things will be as they should be, yeah. No matter how you interfere, we all got one true destiny. I'm brand new, yeah. I'm brand new. Possibility that things will
focus on the sun because my nights are filled with work, but deep inside I'm dark and need to be released upon the earth. I found my way around a verse. Oh, I calm nerves. My rehearsal is a product of wanting to talk words. My options were offered, but life is a long blur. Here, take my heart as a beat and I want snares. And you know that I'm a writer. When you see me, you say hope and say hello to status members and the brand new show. Listen, I've been to the end of my rope. Living, not giving a fuck of a choke. I feel like a villain. I start to provoke every animal out of the jungle like old bananas at the show. So what you want from me is to keep the damage in control. Cause I'm brand new, I had to. I'm looking to making a change. It looks like I'm getting a strange. And that stag cruise, brand new. Mama hoping you need.
That was Mama Rude Gal MTHC with Brand New. And this next one is by Tanya, who also put out a killer album this year. It's so groovy, it hurts. I hope you guys enjoy this song, because I definitely do. It's called Got to Know by Tanya.
Thank you.
Next up, we have a song by Turinesh, who's playing at Cushy's annual music festival, Glitter Ball, on May 23rd this year. This track is called Malkia. If you dig it, go see her on March 7th with Missy D, Tanya, DJ Denise, and Mama Rugal, MTHC.
Mapenzi ya kurizika, itanita itigia, nitakupatia karia, utakuwa bonge la bwana. Hey bwana, hey bwana, hey bwana, hey. Mimi ni malkia, lakini sitakudawala, mapenzi bila wahala. Muda kurahisishia mimi ni malkia lakini sitakudawala mapenzi bila wahala magumu nda kurahisishia walai bila mimi sita tell a lie this heat feels right hey bwana Hey bwana, hey, hey Mapenzi bila kuogoba Hamna kuongoba Mme na mke usawa Hautani tawala Nikita itikia Kama nisubira, nita kusubiria Lakini fanya faster faster meno kasi tufike mbali Walahi bilahi sita tell a lie Mimi ni malkia lakini sita kutawala Mapenzi bila wahala magumu nita kurahisishia Mimi ni malkia lakini sita kutawala Mapenzi bila wahala magumu takuraisishia nitaku wezesha utakuwa bonge la bwana eh bwana eh bwana eh 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 bwana eh bwana eh bwana eh bwana
Malkia by Turinesh, everybody. That's it for the Who We're Working With segment. I'm going to hold everything else off for next week. And now, finally, after I've hyped it up so heavy, we have this interview with Havaya Mighty. Just to let you know a little bit about Havaya, she used to be in a group called The Sorority, which was an all-girl group, and they did a lot of rap, hip-hop, pop. That was how I first learned about Havaya, and she was always the one who I felt had the strongest voice in the group, so I started listening to her other music and really liked it. And so she was on my Spotify algorithm, and when she dropped 13th Floor, I gave it a listen kind of, you know, out of curiosity, not really knowing what to expect, because it was her first record since The Sorority broke up. So when I saw that Havaya dropped something, I was like, thank God, okay, she's not going away. That's fantastic news. Gave the record a play, and the very first song in Women Color is, I don't know how to describe it other than, like, gripping. Like, it's a really gripping track. It just grabs you right away. And she has this way about her that's kind of like, you're going to listen to me. And she says it in such a poetic way. She's so strong, but she's not deliberately offensive. She's not deliberately isolating. That's something that we talk about a little bit in this interview, where I'm asking her questions about the process of putting this record together. But most of the album covers issues related to her identity as a Black woman in Canada. And she talks about a lot of history on the record. She talks about how policy has fueled racism. She talks about how people interpret her and how people either diminish her for being a woman or only hear her because she is a woman, and all of these different intricacies of what her identity means. And there's a lot of reflection, too, on trauma that she's been through throughout her life. And it's pretty rare, I think, that you hear an artist really tackle these things so directly and hit them so on the nose, but also in such a poetic and beautiful way. Before we go into the actual interview, though, I'm going to play you guys a track. The song is called Blame. It is real fun. It's a little bit less heavy than the other ones. There's still a lot to read there. But really, it's just a fun song. So hopefully this will give you a little bit of information about Hawaya, her flow, how she tends to produce and work. And I hope you guys groove to it. I'll see you on the other side.
This shit Mighty Prince, boy.
Sherman North by the hillside. Urban Folk from the six side. Burning smoke from a bridge site. Serving big lines. Virgin gal to the west coast. Perfect palace, my backwoods. Curtains gone, she a rap book. Certain bars leave man shook. The remedy of any melody. Identify that I'm a genuine rarity. I'm rapping Queen Street and Kennedy. Dope bars, all I ever said. Foreign cars, I wanna get in them. So hard, a worth I never sent. Coach Carter, I'm a better Ken. Know that I'm flying fast like kamikaze. My throat, that throttle. Gone in a Maserati. I bang my song for Muhammad Ali. Stand tall, yet small like Mahatma Gandhi and shit. I got regold in both of my tits. You wanna smoke in both of my splits. You wanna kiss in both of my lips. I told him like this. Yeah. Why? You on blame, got you icing. I guess I'm the one to blame. 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 I'm the one. Why you hyping? You on blame, got you wildin'. I guess I'm the one to blame. 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 Take off to the top, I'm about to offset shit. Made it to the bottom, that's that progress shit.
You know it.
This is simple concept, let me talk my shit. They think they a problem, but the problem is not even one. No, no, not even one of you know I'm the GOAT, bitch. Uh-huh. From the North, I'm winning coke, bitch. Yeah. Call me Neo, cause I'm so sick. Yep. Mom and Papa, they was so strict. Right. That's until they saw my show shit. Yeah. Now they raise their fists like, go, bitch, go, bitch. Get it. You choose hate, I try joy. Proud of the coin that I earn. Yo boy wanna be my boy. Yo girl wanna be my girl. You should save me to your favorites and jot down my sight, Earl. You should know we in the matrix. Can we go? I got no patience. All my guys neck breaking, they know this a bop. On the mic test training, they know this my job.
I'm working.
All my ex type hating, they know this a swap. Still on our best behavior, they know it's a cop. Why you wildin'? You on blame. Got you hyping. I guess I'm the one to blame. I'm the one to blame.
Cut the brake line. Come fuck with the waistline. Come fuck with the baseline. I don't walk in no straight line. Chillin' on the place same time. Come fuck with the waistline. The waistline.
ATIRA Women's Resource Society supports women and children impacted by violence by building and operating a range of safe, affordable housing and related support services, including childcare centers. ATIRA has housing and programs across the Lower Mainland. Our feminism is inclusive and intersectional. We envision a world free of inequalities where everyone's human rights are respected and where women and girls have the right to participate fully and effectively in all of the decisions that affect their lives. To find out how you can help, please visit our website at atira.bc.ca or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Free of Violence.
I'm here with Havaya Mighty, a Polaris Prize-winning rapper based in Canada. And today I want to talk to you a little bit about your record you just dropped, 13th Floor. Congrats on the prize. That's huge.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. How did it feel for you to be able to walk that stage and accept that award?
Hard to fathom, you know, just unbelievable. Really happy, you know, grateful. I felt deserving, but also used to not receiving things that I feel I deserve. And so to be acknowledged, to be recognized, I think, you know, the main thing about the album 13th Floor was that I was used to not being heard. And so I made an album about not being heard, and the album was heard. Yeah. I think the beauty in that was the oxymoron and the message finally being received. And so I'm more than I'm grateful to win the award, I'm grateful that the message is transcended in a way that it is being recognized, which is beautiful.
Cool. All right, let's talk a little bit about the record. I've been listening to your music for a while. Even back when you were in the sorority, I was listening to your stuff. And so hearing this album, this record seems like it's very personal to you and very close to your heart. So do you want to tell me a little bit about the process of putting together 13th Floor?
Yeah, I think, you know, for many, many years of my life, I made music, and my intent was to have people enjoy it and dance to it and listen to it and vibe to it. And so, you know, anything that would make people uncomfortable were probably topics I would steer away from. And so talking about things that I experienced wasn't really on the table in many topics, because I knew that there were themes and topics and experiences that I could speak to that I don't think would be comforting to the masses. And so I didn't speak to those things. I chose to not write about those things. And in a way, I kind of, I guess, silenced my own narrative in the ways that I think society also did. When I went into the process of writing 13th Floor, I didn't do that. I was very intentional in ensuring that I wrote to my experiences and included my experiences and made sure that story was told, and that the discomfort that others might feel was not, you know, my focal point. I wasn't super worried about, like, what audience I might lose based on those things. Speaking to a lot of things that I think are dismissed often, or especially growing up in Canada where, you know, people like to pretend that racism isn't a real thing. I feel there's a lot of things that I didn't feel comforted in speaking to where on this record I did. And there are many parallels, not only to race, but also to being a woman and rap, you know, just gender roles, feminism, all of these different things that make different groups of people uncomfortable. I think I actively spoke to those things on this record, and there was a parallel between finally acknowledging those narratives that have been so dismissed and the parallels of the 13th Floor, which in most buildings in Canada, and from what I've been told in the States as well, the 13th Floor doesn't really exist in buildings. I don't know if it's because of the negative connotation we associate with the number 13 or if it's other reasons, but there's a common understanding in North America that the 13th Floor does not exist, and therefore that is the floor with which our narratives go to die. That is the floor where our narratives don't exist. And so there was a very, for me, stark parallel between the 13th Floor and a lot of the themes on a lot of the different songs on the album. And that's how I came to name the album 13th Floor.
Yeah, and something that I personally admire about this record in particular is a lot of the time you get albums that come out and they're really serious content matter, but they're also really hard and intense to listen to and kind of like sad and heavy. But this record does a really unique job of like covering some really important subject matter that would otherwise be difficult to discuss, but also wrapping it up in these really sick beats, like crazy, crazy bars, really hard hitting and like just party music at the same time. So
I think that, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I mean, I think personally it makes music a lot more accessible. And I'm wondering if that was a deliberate choice on your behalf.
Definitely. I very much understand how much more palatable I am than some other musicians. And I reflect on it in the first lyrics of In Women Color, where I say, you know, if I was taller, you would run for me. If I wasn't balding, I couldn't be your cup of tea. you know, if, and it just speaks to like the fact that me being a woman actually makes me easier to tolerate, and definitely something I've reflected on, and something that, you know, I think it's just like, it's like self-awareness, like being aware of how you're received and what will be easier for you and what will be harder for you. And I just have noticed that my approach to music, at least with the 13th Floor Records, has seemed like I've been able to speak to things that I couldn't otherwise. So something about the approach, something about the time, the climate of the economy, whatever it is, all these things all contribute to the fact that people feel like this message is finally something that they can talk about, and like that it's penetrating. And I can't say exactly why, but I definitely recognize that it seems more accessible, and that I'm carrying some of that accessibility through the things I say. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, again, like, that is no small feat. Like, it is, that's a huge, huge job, and I'm excited for you and for everyone else who celebrates your music, because hopefully it can start more conversations like that in the future, right? That's what I'm hoping for, at least.
Me too.
Cool. How about you tell me about how you got into rap?
Me and my three older sisters, we got all of the scholarships you could possibly get at this, the New Conservatory of Music was what it was called. And so we kind of like, once we moved from Toronto to Brampton and we were no longer taking lessons, I had this void of creativity that I was used to having, being in music lessons and singing and doing all these competitions. And it was at this time that we got like a computer and kind of like that whole transition. So I found hip hop, I guess you could say. I started finding things that I liked. I had access, and I no longer had to rely on what was playing on the radio or cassette. And yeah, I just started to be able to discover things that I liked that I could search for and keep on top of it. And I started rapping through this website called lesbeats.com. People would just upload like a minute of rapping, and then you would accept the challenge, and then you would do a minute of rapping. And that's kind of how I got into, like, the whole, like, you know, like, rapping culture and, you know, learning to spit off the top of my head and that sort of thing. And it just developed from there, you know, ended up getting my own computer, getting into production, and it was kind of the natural development of someone who has a keen interest in creating music. I just kind of got involved in all facets, down to recording my own vocals, producing my own stuff, you know, acquiring my own instrumentals, just trying to find ways to DIY it. But yeah, it started with a website and no more singing lessons. I would say that was the start of, I guess, a new era, because I finished something and I needed something new, something fresh. So.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you when that happened?
I was about 12 when that happened.
Oof, you were 12? That's crazy.
Yeah, because like I started singing when I was 4, and I took lessons from the age of 4 to 11. So it wasn't long after that it was like, okay, like what's next? Like, about 15 years ago. And, you know, some people get into the game and they're like, man, I've been at this for like 3 years, 4 years. Like, why have I not made any strides yet? Like, man, if I told you how many years it took me, you'd laugh at me. Like, it's been a long time coming for me, I would say. And like, even still, like 3 years ago, I couldn't tell you that I would think that I could be a full-time musician who is not relying on like my 9 to 5 anymore. And even like, it hasn't even been a year yet. So it's, definitely a beautiful thing to be able to create and have that be the foundation of, you know, my livelihood and my income and my mental health and all of those things.
I imagine. And 15 years is a real long time to be on that grind, which kind of brings me to my next question, which is, I'm going to talk about the positive stuff in a second here, because there's a little bit. But I also want to ask a little bit about, like, burnout and, like, self-care and things like that, because like, you are rapping about really personal heavy shit, and it's really easy to tell when you listen to it that it's personal and it's heavy and that it's heartfelt. And so do you ever feel drained by making this content, or is it really cathartic for you?
I think both. I mean, sometimes I feel drained, like when you start to travel, you start to realize that you have to determine if a song makes sense to perform in a certain place, if the impact will be the same. been my computer received. Like, you have to start assessing things differently, because I wrote it based on the constructs of what I knew being a Canadian and growing up in that environment. Even other parts of Canada, I'd have to look at and be like, does this conversation relate to the people that live here? Is this a song I want to do here? Even, you know, that can be draining, you know? I feel like when you rap about nothing and the song is kind of about nothing, you don't really have to think about those things, because it's about nothing. Like, you can't really offend anyone, you know? But I still think that that still applies in me, because I know what my intention is. If I go somewhere, my intention is solidarity. So if I feel like my content for any reason might not warrant that, like, I might adjust, because I know what my goals are at the end of the day for the show. And my live show is a different experience than the album experience, you know? I think the whole experience is draining, but I remember working at a 9-to-5 job and that being draining, and, you know, it being draining in a much less rewarding way, because, like, when I was successful, like, I was successful on behalf of said business, not my business. And so I try to remember that burnout feeling is like I try to feel the reward from it at the same time as feeling kind of like that strain from it.
You brought up something that I want to kind of bring back. You said that your intentions are solidarity. You want to speak to that a bit?
The intentions of solidarity? I mean, I just think the content, you know, when I write about content that can be divisive, I write about it in a way that is intended to not be divisive, you know? And I think sometimes the topics that we don't know how to talk about, you know, opinions that women have that men might not resonate with, opinions that people of color have that non-persons of color might not represent or recognize, just things that people have divided opinion on. I speak to a lot of those things, but the way that I speak to them is with the purpose of kind of like everyone looking at it from a certain scope and not just one group, you know, feeling penalized or feeling like it affects them. I just think it affects all of us, and I try to, like, showcase that.
So this might be a bit of a big question, but do you consider your work to be inherently political?
Yeah, I have been asked that question before, so I had an opportunity to think about it in the past. And I would say, yeah, it is, just naturally speaking to themes that affect directly any Black woman in Canada is inherently political. The fact that I choose to speak to those themes instead of just exist as someone, as a part of those themes, like, I'm choosing to speak to it. And I think to just point out some of those things is inherently political, because it's inherently uncomfortable too, right? And that's based on the politics that's around those themes and topics. So I would say yes.
Was it, like, at the onset, you were like, I want to change things, I want to speak out, I want to make waves? Or did it just happen because it's a part of your natural voice?
Oh, I'd say definitely not a decision. It definitely, like, I think just by existing and being vocal about my existence has made me inherently political. And so that just kind of translates to the music. And I don't know, I just think being Black in Canada is inherently political, too. Mm-hmm. And I just think being willing to talk about what that is like is inherently political. So I think it just, existing as that person means it works its way into my music as an authentic musician.
Hmm. Is there anything you want to touch on with 13th Floor? What do you hope people take away from listening to it?
Impact. No, I can't speak to what that impact would be, but I would hope for the record to feel impactful, that, like, if it's not, to some degree, impactful. You know, I feel like, you know, we really tried to focus on every aspect of the album, from the sonic elements to the instruments used to the production to the songwriting, and just everything is done with that intention. And so, like, if even the production or one of the songs stands out in terms of how we approach the recording aspect, or just anything could be impactful, I think that would be the most important thing. You can never determine what people will feel from your art. But if art can be impactful, I think that for me, is a success.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Shavaya. It was a real pleasure to get to talk to you.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the conversation.
That was Shavaya Mighty talking about her most recent record, 13th Floor. Is she not just a fucking intellectual? For real. I was so nervous before I did that interview because I look up to her so much as an artist, and I was kind of geeking before I picked up the phone. Hopefully you can't tell. I really tried my best to put on that journalist voice and be like, Yes, like, interesting. And she is very interesting. But I'm really happy with the way that one went, and I hope you guys learn from it. Gonna plug the show that she has coming up. She's gonna be at Fortune Sound Club on March 11th. I think that that show is gonna be phenomenal. I'm definitely gonna be there. I've never seen her before. I don't think she comes to Vancouver very often. So don't miss out, because this record is now part of Canadian history, Canadian music history. We're gonna start talking now about who we're listening to. You know, I was feeling real inspired from this week. You can see that we've been supporting a lot of women in hip-hop and rap lately, and so I've been playing a lot of this playlist that I put together called Breadwinning Baddies, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's just like a bunch of people who I really support, mostly femmes, talking about how they're making their own money, they're getting their own shit done, why they're the shit, loving themselves. All that energy, all that powerful energy is this playlist. So I'm going to throw some of that at you guys, but we're going to play another Hawaya track first, and it's the one that we talked about, not only in the interview, but beforehand when I was introducing her. It's called In Women Color. It's my personal favorite off of 13th Floor. It's also the first song. So we're going to open up with that. You guys are going to listen to it and listen closely. It's not just a bop. There's more to it. So listen to that. And then afterwards, I'll play you just like probably three of my favorite tracks that I'm listening to right now from Canadian music from my Breadwinning Baddies playlist. And then I'll give you one deep cut song, one underground gem that's hard to find and not very popular yet. Let's go.
If I was taller, you would run from me, huh? If I wasn't ballin', I couldn't be a cup of tea, huh? I mean, what if I wasn't somebody, huh? Since rapping makes you so uncomfortable, huh? You never actually fuck with me, huh? They used to say I'm too loud, but that's cool now. Love my skin, always been proud, guess that's in now. They used to say I'm too black with that crew rap, and I career the boom bap over new trap. Huh, wearing your maze. Before they called us monkey niggas, where are those days? That cotton picking, fucking with them, where are those slaves? I want them on the rise like varicose veins. And I'm darker than my friends. Yeah. And finally they see it and they start to get the trend. I gotta do 2 times more to get 4 times less. But it's cool cause I'm sharper in the end. Still, let's talk about it. About the fact I got commercial appeal. So okay. Ultimately it's them dollars that be turning the wheel. Most my homies, they want gold and not that surgical steel. They wanna make more than we currently will. I mean, I get it, I'm trying to stack. All of the coin. I love that I'm black. So fuck all that noise. Boing. Lady parts, but I'm fierce. This a daily dart for my fears. Is it lazy dart for my peers? I'm a paper palm with my tears. I gotta interrupt the service. I gotta switch it up. I gotta think above the surface. They dropping their change. I'm picking up the purses. History deserted.
You think I'm proud to be associating with you? I don't need shit. And most importantly, I don't need you.
All my life I hung with the man them. Yeah, sometimes they gotta let you know that you different. I used to point guard, set the play on some ball shit. Poised tall, 7th grade, still a small shrimp. We was running, we was shooting, and this one boy was moving ruder than he usually does. At one point, he threw my ball over my reach. I'm talking way down the street, like 45 feet. I fucking step like, is you serious, nigga? This ain't the end, there ain't no period, nigga. This is a mess, I ain't inferior, nigga. Bro, he stepped to me cleanly, and he cuffed me by the neck and he beat me. I shrug about it now. It's just my struggle with the power divide. Cause even as little kids, he told me with his hand around me that all the other boys don't ever wanna hang around me. And they don't fuck with tomboys, it's a squad of small boys. He was swinging hard like I ain't have my dad around me. Like I ain't always had my sisters and my fam around me. Side eye, how them niggas used to act around me. Looking back, I ain't have a fat ass around me. Still I leveled up, I always had that ladder around me. Now I'm rocking big stages and they gather around me. I got nothing but them groupies and them fans around me. Old said, can you see by the dawn's early light that I'm proud like the star-spangled banner around me? Shorty gloss like that lack around me. More boss than the man's around me. Little nigga couldn't shake me. Little nigga couldn't break me. Nah, little nigga couldn't shake me. Little nigga couldn't break me.
One more time, that was In Women Color by Havaya Mighty off of her most recent record, 13th Floor. Next up, we got two Canadian tracks off of my aforementioned Breadwinning Baddies playlist. The first one is someone who's also performing at Glitter Ball, our annual music festival, this year on May 23rd. Her name is Hua Li, and she's from Montreal, but she's going to be coming all the way out just to play here. And I've been loving her music for ages. We put her up at a show here at the Clubhouse a while back, the day after Halloween this year. And her stage presence is absurd. She is so much fun to watch. So I'm going to play her first. This song is called Mastery.
Trying to find myself a sign, and she hasn't changed with time. So I see we in a bind, bruh. Make that decancerian pleasure authoritarian. Always find I'm tearing in when she gets too ovarian. Ooh, girl, then he puts on the table, marrying. Okay, looks like she's getting ontarian. Silly me, thought fucking was the key. But without repeat performances, what does it really mean? Does she still got it? Bringing the girls to their knees, standing the boys on their keys. Still hot. But they off target when he gets started. Well, she stays scarlet, so I beg your pardon. If you come to harvest, you gon' leave here starving.
Do they really feel where I come from? Or is it flattery? I get so easily cut down by dark pedigree. Plantation after factor. What's in my arteries? This shit ain't.
View him through some oriental eyes. Giving gentle rise to habits that he generalized. I breathe fire, sure, but I never claim it's naturalized. Leaning to the pity, pray he gets used to the pity. Cause I left her on the sidelines thinking I wouldn't get misty. Flipping back to days when fever had us hot in harmony. Kick it up, I dare say I'd have skipped that trip to pharmacy. Cause dopamine and functioning have taken on synonymy. It used to be a glance could bring the dose up astronomically. Now I'm cursing out the city cause my skin don't seem to fit me. Never mind, it's been months since we last really got jiggy. Hate to bring it back to technical, see him looking skeptical. Leaning on the chemicals like now's gotta be seminal. Pray pushing it to the side, heals the wound pressure applied. I'm taking it all in stride, leaving the rest out on the curbside.
Do they really feel where I come from? Or is it flattery? I get so easily cut down.
Was Mastery by Hua Li. And next we have a local, Lokita, who I actually interviewed this week about her music, what she's about, what she's up to, and that article will be coming out with the Runner newspaper sometime this A-minute. So here's her music. The song is called Ting. And she's a real sweetie too. So let's all go support her. She doesn't have any shows coming up at the moment that I know of, but here's a Lokita track. You can follow her at Rude Gallo.
Listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
It's time for our very last segment, Deep Cuts. Just something that you probably wouldn't find on your own, something that I had to look for. This track is by an artist named Arletis, A-R-L-E-T-I-S. Check her out on Spotify, that's where I found this song. It's real, real smooth, very vibey. I feel like it's a good way to end this episode of Cushy Radio. I'll give you some closing notes after we're done with this song.
Yo no quiero volver.
That was Alma Naranja by Arletis. That's our deep cut song for the day, which means that we are finished here. This has been episode 2 of Cushy Radio. I hope that you all had a lovely, lovely time. I did. You can probably tell that I'm genuinely really excited about what we have coming around the corner. And just to remind you one more time, our next show is the International Women's Day show that's happening at Venue on March 7th with Missy D, Turinesh, Mama Rudgel MTHC, Tanya, and DJ Denise. It is stacked. It's so stacked, and I can't wait to be there with you, hopefully. See you then, or see you next time, on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. here on CITR.
In the context of Vancouver's opioid crisis, CITR would like to take a moment to share some harm reduction strategies.
Try not to do drugs alone. When going out, let friends know what drugs you're taking and make sure someone has a naloxone kit. If you're able to, get your drugs tested before taking them.
Avoid mixing opioids with alcohol or stimulants. Remember that opioids can include painkillers prescribed by a doctor, and it's possible for any drugs to be contaminated with opioids.
Learn the signs of opioid overdose, which include, but are not limited to, unresponsiveness or unconsciousness, inability to speak, breathing that is slow, erratic, or has stopped completely, heartbeat that is slow, erratic, or has stopped completely, skin tone that has turned blue or gray, choking or gurgling sounds.
If you think someone is overdosing, call 911 immediately. Start rescue breathing and administer naloxone if you have it. You cannot get in trouble for being on drugs, so always call 911 in an emergency.
For more information about naloxone kits and training, visit towardtheheart.com.
Thank you and stay safe.